This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Too busy, I wonder if you even miss me never.
It's always come out that way, but it's not condescending. It's just my nickname for Chuck.
Well, no, hold on. Just because it's your nickname for Chuck does not immediately mean it's not condescending.
Is it Chuck or is it Chucka?
From Chuck.
I was joking about correcting. Go ahead. Bad joke. Move on.
When somebody refers to you as Chuckles, now is that condescending?
No. Okay. I'm good with all these names. I think my dad actually... We discussed this once when my dad was visiting, maybe like 10 years ago when I moved here 11 years ago, but growing up, the thing was, my parents really liked Charlie. Mm. I have an Uncle Charlie.
Oh.
Not Adam Wainwright. Mm. An actual...
You got a wicked curve?
Uncle Charlie with a wicked 12-6er. Falls right off the table. But my
How much more lingo can we weave in here?
They did not want me to be called Chuck. So growing up, like, I had a basketball coach. He wanted to call me Chuck, and we're like, no. Don't call him Chuck. So now I don't care.
And those
care.
Shoes he's wearing are Charlie Taylor's, just so
correct.
You know.
But I was always Charlie growing up, but now I don't care. Chuckles, Chuck, Chaz, Charlie. Nobody calls me Charles. Nobody cares about this.
Nobody cares.
Let's talk about the Blues.
Right, but the tweet was, since Chuckles said peeps in Chicago probably aren't rooting for the Blues, he'd be wrong. Every Blackhawks fan that I know up here, they're rooting for the Blues, absolutely despise Boston. Even though they also hate the Blues. And I've got a friend in Chicago who's a huge Hawks fan. During this playoff run, he texted and said, hope you guys win the cup. And I think Chicago sports fan can take that stance because they've won 3 Stanley Cups in recent memory.
What if they weren't facing the Bruins? What if the Carolina Hurricanes had won that conference final? I feel like they wouldn't be rooting for the Blues.
I agree.
So much of that is Boston.
Correct. And Charlie, to his point, Chuckles, brought that up a week or two ago and said, because it's Boston, most of the country will be behind the Blues because everybody's sick of Boston.
And
it's not just that they always win. There's a little bit of East Coast attitude you get with the Boston fan.
It was the, I don't want to call them the lovable losers because that was the Cubs, but with the Red Sox and their streak of not winning for, 86 years, they were kind of lovable as well, right, with the Red Sox. But then once they won... I mean, they've won everything. And so now it's like, okay, you win too much. And now it does seem like they become kind of this arrogant fan base. And I got ripped on the radio a few years back. And understandably, look, I didn't grow up a Cardinals fan, but I thought the Cubs winning the World Series back in 16 was a fantastic story because it was kind of the last curse, right? I know the Blues here, 52 years, but when you're talking 100 and whatever it was years, I mean, that's a great national story. I understand why a Cardinals fan would say, I never want to see the Cubs win. And again, I didn't grow up in St. Louis, but I'm saying, I think sometimes you also have to watch it from the big picture and realize you're talking about 100 years of losing and finally this team winning. And I get it that you hate the Cubs, but it is a great story.
There was a map, was it Google or Yahoo that had the map of where they were rooting for Boston and where they were rooting for the Blues? And I was surprised that it wouldn't have just been 100%. Anywhere outside of Boston, rooting for the Blues. Tkachuk said it, and I think he meant in the hockey community, that fellow NHLers, alums, that have all either played here, have come through here, kind of have an appreciation for the franchise, and thinking, as my wife said in 2016 about the Cubs, she said, well, isn't it their turn?
That's what I'm saying.
There's no turn. There's no turn in baseball. But I think a lot of people in the NHL world believe it is the Blues' turn.
And you also wonder, because the Bruins, what do they have, 9 American players? And the Blues have 1 American player who happens to be from Oakville, but there's probably pockets of the United States where these guys are from, where they're also rooting for the Bruins because of that guy. In the same way, I mean, there's probably a lot of Celtics fans right now in St. Louis. We don't have a team, and everybody loves Jason Tatum.
By the way, that was from Chris, who I think is a Blues fan in Chicago, to Chuckles. Shout out to Ron Millhiser, who found the photo of Al McGuire getting flipped off. We were talking about great photos with Brett Hull. Entering into that category now, flipping off, I believe it was the Bruins bench. That's how it was labeled by the person who sent it out initially, that he was flipping off the bench. But this is a great shot. It's Al McGuire jumping up on the scorer's table, and right in front, and I'm 90% certain it's a parent of a Wisconsin player giving the finger to the legendary Al McGuire. Ron Millhiser, which is a great name too, because that'd be a good nickname. Hey, Millhiser, retired sportscaster, checking in on Twitter. Thank you, Millsy.
Two more people on the text line checking in on this argument. Scott's wrinkled sack saying there are a handful.
I like when Frank reads it as it, you know, like real serious tweet text.
Okay, Scott's wrinkled ball sack says this. If Chara is out, he says there are a handful of firefighters that were deployed by the state to help sandbag where I live. They're coming from Chicago. They are big Blackhawks fans, and they are indeed rooting for the Blues. Poor man's Don King says, and he sent a screenshot of an actual conversation with a Blackhawks fan friend. He wrote, "Do you have a rooting interest? You can be honest. I can't really see you rooting for the Bruins, but I'm not sure I can see you rooting for the Blues either." His friend responds, "It comes down to this. I will root for a potential first-time winner over a city that wins too much, and I will certainly root for the Midwest over Boston." So without actually saying it, I think you know the answer. He doesn't want to admit that he's rooting for the Blues, but deep down, he really is.
And I think there's a difference between rooting for and okay with. Like, if you're in Chicago, you're like, it's fine. The Blues win. Go ahead. We've won plenty. As opposed to being a Blackhawks fan that's upset if they lose again. You know what I mean? I think they're probably okay with it as opposed to living and dying or pulling for the Blues. I think there's a distinction.
I think that's an interesting overall sports debate, though. Because here in Missouri, and I love it, but Missouri fans, they love when Kansas loses, right? And maybe a lot of that has to do with, I mean, obviously the rivalry, but then no longer in the conference. So that rivalry has really gone away in basketball and football and all that. But I've always been the opposite as an Ohio State fan. I've always wanted to see Michigan win every single game they play, except for Ohio State. I always want that game to be, if it could be, 11-0 versus 11-0, because I think it makes the rivalry better. But I understand how some people will always root against their rival when they're playing other teams.
Hollywood Casino Press Box, Kilcoin and Chuckles till the top of the hour. Then Strick will be here. I got to know, is he going? I mean, he has been around all these games. Goldfinger hooked him up with the trip to Boston for games 1 and 2. And he said the plane got a little more crowded because Goldfinger started bringing his family, which is not, I would think they probably take priority. But I haven't heard if Strick is headed to Boston. Part of our team coverage on 590, which Solly's Wheelhouse was also there last week. You got to go back. If you go to 1 and 2, you got to go back. Whether you're Solly or Strick, I think you got to go back.
Or Martin. Martin going back. I mean, took the trip again away from little old Chuckster here. Doesn't get to go to Beantown.
No, not true. Not true. I've mentioned,
I'm good, actually.
Mentioned
I'm actually
several
good
several times. Although you're good luck. Lose equipment, win a game.
And game 7.
Lose clothes, win a game.
If there's a game 7, it has to be all hands on deck, of course. Or on the boat.
On
if
the
we're
boat.
Back on the boat.
Ooh, on deck. You should stay on the boat. On deck. It's perfectly
Ooh,
fitting.
What's on
you
deck?
You got to get the boat back.
Should we even
I
mention
think they
this?
I tried and it wasn't available.
I don't know if it's bad luck to mention this.
Then
but,
don't say it.
But people on the text line were wondering if the Blues were to win, let's say, the Stanley Cup on Sunday. Okay, if you're talking about a parade, maybe Tuesday. Now, somebody in the text line suggested, what if you win Game 7 in Boston on a Wednesday? Is it better to do the parade on a Saturday, yes, an off day when everybody's off? Do you do it on a Friday?
No, Saturday. You got to give the players time to recover, Chuck.
Okay, but they're coming back.
It's going to be outdoors in the sunlight. You don't want...
First of all,
yeah,
when you win a Stanley Cup, the players don't recover for like a month. I'm still seeing videos of Ovechkin with his shirt off and TJ Oshie drinking beers through his shirt. Those guys partied for literally a month straight.
But what's the greatest thing? Winning the cup on your home ice. What's the next best thing? Winning it in Vegas. You know, so last year the Caps breakthrough, finally win the cup. Oh, it's too bad. We're not at home. Holy crap. We just won the Stanley Cup and we're in Vegas, which led to a lot of that Ovechkin stuff.
But it went for like a month. Like every
Correct.
Time you saw those guys out, I mean, there was a time where like they were in the fountains of a building, you know,
Correct.
Like with their shirts off swimming. They were like swimming and drinking beers, which is fantastic, by the way. I'm all for it, and I hope it happens.
You're all for swimming
for the Blues.
And drinking beers or having
I'm
a
all
cup
for
and...
celebrating and just think about Blues fans been waiting 52 years. If the Blues win the cup, I mean the party is not going to end for a month. I mean the players are going to be everywhere they go it's just going to be a party.
Cardinals have a bigger buffer to lose more than if the Blues win the Cup.
That they've given them a little more cover, you're
saying? Yeah, it's like the All-Star break by that point.
I want to congratulate the Blues and Craig Berube.
Yeah, he's still an interim head coach, huh? All that winning, still an interim.
By the way, I know we all like a good name in the draft. The baseball draft, Martin, is still going on. It's in the 13th round, at least. The Cardinals have selected 395 overall. UC Santa Barbara center fielder. Name, first name Tommy, last name Jew.
Tommy Jew. All right. How do you spell the
J-E-W,
Jew part?
J-E-W, Jew.
Okay.
Was that a Chris Farley film? No.
I don't know. Tommy Jew.
Just drafted by the St. Louis Cardinals.
We had Tommy Pham, and he was apparently too good to keep here.
Will he be at the All-Star game?
He should be.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't he about a 900 OPS?
Will Luke Voigt be at the All-Star game? These are like
he should, right? Didn't he have like 16, 17 bombs?
Martin, we had this argument maybe a month ago because I was thinking about planning maybe All-Star game Cleveland, and we were thinking about which Cardinals would go. And at the time, you're thinking DeYoung.
Which Cardinal won't be going, yeah.
Okay, but you're thinking DeYoung and maybe Hicks. And now, are you thinking either of those guys? I mean, Hicks didn't pitch, I think, for about 47 days.
Yeah.
Ozuna's the only one making the All-Star team.
Ozuna has great power numbers. I mean, right now, would they get more than
Cole Long should go.
Ozuna?
Honestly.
Just for defense?
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, there's a lot of outfielder to choose from. Granted, Ozuna's having a huge year, but second baseman harder to come by.
Tommy Pham, who wasn't good enough to play for the Cardinals, has an 897 OPS and a 143 OPS.
He's so good and under control for, what, two, three more seasons?
Those are bad things.
It's just unbelievable.
You don't need, you don't need that.
Yeah, but Hennessy Cabrera has 6 years of control.
Who else was in the deal? Wasn't there another lefty?
Another outfielder. Yeah,
you
terrible.
Got Chase and Shreve for Luke Voigt. So you got that.
Roel Williams is in the minors, and Justin Williams, who is in the minors and is not hitting.
But, like, you can miss on one or two of those trades, but, like, combine all the players that you traded and the value that you got in return, you can't miss on all of those guys. You got to get value where you can. Well, was Munoz in the Piscotty deal?
Is him that, and...
I guess, since you're doing a sympathy
another,
deal.
Luke Schrock? There's another middle infielder who's considered pretty good.
Munoz is a good utility guy, but, I mean...
But Justin Williams is batting 196 in Double A. I do think with DeYoung, what's interesting is, and I think it is a failure of roster construction, and we discussed this in the offseason, I'm not sure if he's hurt, but he could probably use a couple days off. But you don't have a backup shortstop.
That's arbitrary.
So you can't give him a day off.
Well, could you?
Yeah, you need that super utility guy. I know Jairo Munoz is that, but it'd be nice to have that 8 years ago Ben Zobrist, especially in the National League. That type of player, a Marwin Gonzalez type. I know he was Astros and now Twins, but that type of player has so much value in the National League. Jed, in theory, could be that, but you don't want him to be a shortstop.
No.
That's a good point. I never really thought about the backup shortstop position. We do have, I mean, you don't really have a great option there to fill in for DeYoung.
And I know when we talk about Luke Voigt, look, you want to get something better in return for a guy who now has whatever it is, 15 homers. I mean, since he's went to the Yankees, he's been this unbelievable player. He did hit when he was up here, not over an extended period of time. But Tommy Pham, that's the one that, and it's not hindsight. I understand he was struggling a bit last year, but he was your MVP the year before that. And it wasn't like he was making $20 million a year. He was under club control for 3.5 years. He just hit arbitration. I know he won his arbitration. What did he win, about $5 million? I mean, that's nothing. Whatever he's making.
$4.1 million.
Okay, $4.1 million is nothing for a guy who's going to be an all-star likely with a 900 OPS. And I understand he had the eye issue, so you wondered if he could sustain that. But still, isn't that a risk worth taking for a guy who's not making very much money?
And the narrative around the Cardinals last year was they got better once the bad mic was excused and you brought in the good mic. And
bad mic.
Since the mic swap.
If I'm Matheny, though, I'm like, I'm the bad mic?
since the mic swap.
I'm with you.
Team's not exactly taking off.
Fam was batting 325 with a 450 slugging and a 400 on base. And I know that's a very small sample size. It was 12 games. But I mean, you gave everyone else a chance to get better after the dismissal, but you decided to cut one short, and he just happens to be a really good player.
And look.
But whatever. Who cares?
We all love Mike Shildt.
Trade players and watch him get better elsewhere.
And Mike Shildt is a great communicator, and he's great with the media, and he did turn that team around last year. And right now they're kind of around 500. But I've said this the whole time. Even though at the end Mike Matheny was very isolated and, you know, kind of, you know, with the media and there was some agitation there, in his time with the Cardinals, the boat never sank. And there's a lot of teams out there with a ton of talent. The Nationals come to mind when every other year they fire their manager, where every year they were picked to win the World Series, and there were many years they didn't finish with even 86 wins. They were below 500. So you can criticize Mike Matheny fairly for a lot of things that happened at the end, but when he was there from, what, 12 to last year, 2018, that boat never sank. They never had the 77-win season. They were always in it, and I understand at the end they weren't making the playoffs, but there's a lot of teams and a lot of managers that would love to have that record. And I know you can say, okay, Cardinals are a great organization. They gave them good players. Those things are all true. There are a lot of teams out there with a lot of talent that end up with 76 wins.
I wish I had video from last Tuesday at the Fenway office for La Russa when we were taping that segment, and we were just talking about the Yankees. They were about to play the Yankees and the Red Sox. And he said, you know, boy, it came from Cardinals, right? And I said, yeah. I go, he's from St. Louis. He goes, from St. Louis? Oh, my. He was astounded that he was at first astounded like that they got rid of him, but then that he's from St. Louis. So in this week's podcast, I actually brought up Luke Voit, just kind of his take on him. And he basically said, I love the Cardinals, but I'm not real happy with him about that one because he's on the Yankees tearing it up. They get to see him all the time. But when he knew that he had been traded from St. Louis, and I said, well, he's also a local kid. He's like, what? From St. Louis? Oh, my. And like, he was shocked that they would unload. As much as we love our own around here, it does add to it that the guy's tearing it up, and he's playing first base.
But to be fair,
which we try to be.
To be fair, Tony, I mean, he is a St. Louis guy, but he's also a Chicago guy, an Oakland guy, an Arizona guy, and a Boston guy. So he has to know all of the backstories. It's hard to focus on one when he's part of like six organizations.
No, correct. He's got a lot of
hats, literally.
A lot of hats out there.
I remember the funniest part about the Voit trade. Now, at the time, you didn't know what you gave up or really what you were getting with Shreve. But remember when Shreve was interviewed, I think it was either before or after that Yankee game that evening, and you could see the sheer disappointment
in
his
face. Oh, the day he arrived. And I mean, think they were probably, the Cards were around 500 or less. He leaves the Yankees.
And you knew you lost the trade right then and there after you watched
it. And we're like, hey, what's it like, you know, to go from one great organization to another? And he's like,
he hated it.
Yeah, remember, because they interviewed him in New York and he was crying. Then he got here and we were like, hey, you've had a chance for it to kind of settle in. He's like, yeah, not really.
He was one of the least good.
Because usually when a player arrives, you make a deal because you're making a playoff push. Like, oh, thank God I got out of wherever. We're not going anywhere. Now I'm here on a team that's in first or making a push. He basically got the reverse of that. And everybody's like, hey, what's it like to be a Cardinal? You know, birds on the bat. And he's like, it'll work out, I guess.
Yeah, so good.
That added
the Yankees were good too.
The backstory.
Yeah.
But it's also like this guy wasn't a multiple time all-star, right?
No, I'm not. We're not.
I mean, he's not pitching for the Cardinals right now.
No, we're not saying that. We're not saying that. But the fact that he was disappointed was actually pretty funny. All right, any sponsors we need to mention, Hoff, before this hour ends? It's been the Hollywood Casino
Press Box. It has been the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Clearly. Worldwide Technology brought the opening segment. The Raceway did with Kenny Albert. And Plowsy, we do have TMA Live coming up next month. It is July 25th, the Hot Shots in Dorset, brought to you by Bud Light. Great giveaways, food and drink specials. Once again, 12664 Dorset Road in Maryland Heights, TMA Live, Thursday, July 25th.
And don't forget the talent show that's coming up, St. Louis Sound. We talked to Will DeWitt yesterday about it. That's Bill DeWitt III's son. He's a high school kid who had an idea to put together a talent show where all of these musicians, performers with different genres of music, rap and R&B, rock, folk, you name it, all one night competing for the chance to get a recording studio in Nashville. It was a great event last year. It's at the Sheldon. We moved the date because it was going to be right in the middle of the Stanley Cup run. It's Wednesday, June 26th. If you've never been to the Sheldon, it's a great theater. Get your tickets. Come on out. Support the cause. Go into a charitable group here, which brings music into the urban community. It's St. Louis Sound Competition, Wednesday, June 26th. You can go to MetroTix or simply go to the Sheldon's website.
Two texts coming in on Matheny and Shilt. Different viewpoints. Fred Dreyer's mushroom.
What?
That's all I'll say
Fred
there.
Fred
He says, wow, Charlie, you are off your game today. The boat sank during the playoffs every year, talking about Mike Matheny. I was discussing the regular season. I guess that's a fair point. And then Dan G says, thank you, Charlie. That is so true. Mike Matheny isn't the problem. Neither is Schilt. The front office is the issue. Yes. Mo has been the problem for years. And I wasn't totally excusing Mike Matheny. Obviously, at the end, there's communication with the players and the clubhouse. And I mean, the media is very secondary. But what I'm saying is there are a lot of teams that came in with great expectations that end up with 72 wins. And the Matheny Cardinal teams never did that, although at the end they did flame out, not make the playoffs. And there were some playoff runs where certainly you could see them doing better. But look, Mike Schilt, I mean, the honeymoon period last year, all through spring training, greatest communicator ever. I mean, you need to have some players too, right? The Cardinals are not playing very well. And I do feel like, is it fair to say, is the shine coming off a little bit? I mean, this is what happens when you start to go through the grind of a 500 and this fan base wants the playoffs.
No, I think the honeymoon portion is over. I think for Matheny, it lasted 3 years. In 2012, after winning the World Series, but you lose La Russa, you're the new guy, and you get into the playoffs, and you make it to the NLCS, including the crazy comeback against the Nats. You win a one-game wild card. Everybody's happy. 2013, all the young arms. You get to the World Series. Everybody's happy. 2014, you're in the NLCS for a third straight year. But then some of the maneuvers, especially the Randy Choate stuff out in San Francisco.
Waka.
And Waka being just the poster child for that postseason ending. I think that's when the honeymoon ended for Mike. And even though 2015, they won 100 games, won the division. But it really shifted, I think, at the end of the third year, albeit on the big stage, they had advanced to the NLCS.
You did have the drop, too, where 13 World Series, 14 NLCS, 15 DS, missed the playoffs second place. I mean, you had the negative going down for about 5 years coming from 2013.
Waiting for the text that says, let's go, let's go. Strick is coming in. It's a Hockey Wednesday all about the Blues and Bruins and a Game 5. We'll talk it over with 622 Blue next. Forever, you can paint a pretty picture.